Hello, everybody. This is Marek Hosek, and I welcome you to the Create or Die podcast. This is episode number 4, and today we're going to have a great conversation with my good friend Andy Zenz. Andy is an illustrator, a branding expert, a designer, and just an overall outdoor enthusiast and adventure seeker. And he's one of my best friends here in Colorado, and I truly love him. He is the one who introduced me to so many things that this state has to offer. And without him, I probably wouldn't be doing half the stuff that I currently am doing. We are going to have a conversation coming down from the mountains. And today we will be discussing nature and creativity and how they both play a crucial part in our lives and how one feeds the other. So stay tuned, and here we go.
Hello, everybody. This is Marek Hosek, and welcome to the Create or Die podcast. Today is going to be a pretty cool conversation with my buddy Andy Zenz. We are currently driving on I-70, and we're coming back from the mountains. We did an early kind of a ski session just to kind of get out there, get inspired.
Networking.
And it's just good to be here with my buddy. Andy is a creative. He's been running his own show, his own design agency for quite some time. It's called Robots Loves Balloons. He also has a side project with a lot of really cool creative designs called Awe. It's called The Moment of Awe. And it's all about inspiration with Andy. And I wanted to talk to him today about what does it look like to be inspired by nature? How important is it to kind of drive creativity in all of us? And just how do we kind of soak that nature in and so we can, you know, output through creativity? So Andy, thank you for being here in my car.
Glad to be here.
This is an awesome way to interview.
Yeah, this is awesome.
We've never done this before, so this is a first.
We're figuring out how to be working and not working all at the same time.
Well, this is called windshield time.
Yep.
So I guess I'll kick this off because I feel like nature for me is very important. I lived in Chicago most of my life, and I feel like I was pretty creative there, but when I moved out here about 9 years ago, you know, we're surrounded by nature in Colorado, and you get to do your day trips, your hikes. You know, Andy's the one who actually got me to go, you know, mountain biking and early morning, 6 a.m. hiking on Flatirons. So I always came back at like 8 or 9 a.m.
Paddleboarding. Backpacking.
You name it. This is my adventure guy. He's also an adventure guy. So if anybody needs an adventure, just give Andy a call. I'll put this phone number in the show notes. But I feel like I've been more inspired by living in Colorado. And I'm not saying that you can't be inspired by living, you know, in Chicago or New York or, you know, Pennsylvania, wherever you're from. But I do feel like nature and getting out there has been a big part of being inspired for me.
Correct.
And I almost feel like I'm, like, just now, I'm going to come back to the studio and I'm almost, like, ready to go. You know, I feel full. And I don't know how you feel about that or if you share kind of like the same views.
Well, I want to ask you a couple questions about your Chicago time. Did you know nature was important to you in Chicago? Or you didn't realize the importance of nature and the connection creativity until you moved out to Colorado?
I guess I was always into nature because my wife and I did a lot of backpacking. I mean, not backpacking, but camping and traveling. And I did always, I felt like every time I left the city, because I lived downtown Chicago, every time I, I left, I felt like I was full again.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was camping up in Michigan or Wisconsin or, you know, going down to Florida. So, yeah, I guess I didn't know it at the time how important it really was. And I guess that's partly what drew us to Colorado.
Yeah.
Is because we both, my wife and I, both loved nature. We both love camping. We both love, you know, being outdoors. And this is just, you know, four seasons at its best.
I feel like culture helps direct some of the concept of, like, connecting with nature. As I grew up in Michigan, and Michigan's full of natural parks and lakes and beaches, you know, lake beaches and things like that. But the general culture, if I could be so general as the Midwest or Michigan specifically, unless you're like on the coast on Lake Michigan or something like that, it isn't necessarily directed towards the outdoors and nature. But being in Colorado, there's a culture of getting out, connecting with nature, you know, enjoying the sunshine, all those things. So now that I've lived in Colorado for almost 20 years, now when I go back to Michigan or other places, now I have new eyes and new perspective to be like, how do I plug into nature in the, even in the hometown where I grew up, where outdoors and nature wasn't necessarily an emphasis.
Yeah.
And so my culture, eyes for culture and eyes for daily life kind of changed,
right,
which calls me to nature more now.
Right. It's almost like transformed your view.
Yeah.
You're seeing it through another lens. Where before you didn't.
Yeah, it's like it's fed me enough that I want more of it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm missing something when I'm not moving my body, I'm not enjoying the sunshine, I'm not, you know, just unplugging and getting out in nature in any form of it.
Well, and the beauty about that is now, even if you leave Colorado and you go back to Michigan or you go back to somewhere else, you already have that, like, embedded in you, where you will find those adventures.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Now, it's granted, some places are harder to find, you know, natural getaways, you know, more than other places. But yeah.
Right.
It will definitely be important for me if I were to move somewhere else.
So how does that, like, have you ever, so I guess, you know, this show is about creativity, and I feel that creativity is all around, and everybody's creative in some way. And some people need to do different things to kind of stay with their craft or their creativity. Like, what are some things, do you have a daily ritual that kind of gets you to be creative? For instance, do you do a morning walk every morning to kind of get that creativity going? And when do you think you're most creative?
I unfortunately don't have a routine. I know you have more of a routine with your dog. You're moving your body. You're out on walks in the open space. So my venture stepping into creativity isn't necessarily initiated or started with a walk outside or anything like that. Maybe it should be, like, maybe the next time I'm like, I need to spend the next 2 hours in my sketchbook for a project, maybe I should go try to do some little mini adventure first.
Right.
But so I don't have those kind of routines, but what happens for me is I just know on a weekly basis, and it's more weekly than daily, but, you know, there's the ache maybe in the day, but not every day allows for it, or I don't give myself the opportunity to get out every day. But
mm-hmm.
weekly basis, I'm trying to find ways to plug into the local trail, to have a walk at a creek or something. I do love water, and I've been lucky for the last, you know, 19 years to be living close to a moving body of water, even if it's a small little creek.
Yeah.
And that is my quick reset for me, is I'll walk down the street and sit on a rock next to a moving, you know, sometimes rushing depending on the season, creek, and just getting it just immediately transports me, even though there might be a street right behind me, you know, it transports me back into nature, the moving of the water, the just the purity of the flow of the water, that resets me a lot of the times, and it just calms my spirit, calms my heart, mind, and then I can think more. So.
Well, and then you're almost like, because I do see you sketching a lot. You know, you're a pencil and a pad of paper kind of guy,
yeah.
Right? When you approach a project, so sometimes you will go in nature and sketch, right? Because that's where you feel most. At almost like at peace to receive the creativity.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes I get outside and I feel, and if I have a sketchbook, I feel forced that I should be creative then, because this is a great environment, but I have to remind myself, it's almost like letting nature do its, take its course on me,
yeah.
Which is kind of shutting down a little bit and letting my mind and it just receive, you know, the openness and invitation of what nature has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually better for my creativity than trying to force myself to be creative in an outdoor environment or something like that.
Mm, so. Yeah, no, that makes sense, because now you're almost like peaceful, and then now you're full again,
yeah.
To come back and do like output.
I've shed off some of the layers, yeah. of thoughts and pressures and anxiety, and now I'm in a place of more peace. So yeah.
Well, and you know, as creatives, right, we're always asked to output stuff.
Yes.
We're constantly putting out, whether it's whether you're a chef, you're creating food. Whether you're a graphic designer or a painter or a musician, you keep having to put out. So I think it's really important for, you know, to spark creativity, to be alone and sit in nature or somewhere where you feel peaceful. It could be in, you know, it could be in Times Square, if that is your peaceful place, or it could be in Central Park. For us, we have Colorado, so there's a lot of different places where we can go and hang out. For me, it's like just hanging out sometimes in my hammock in the backyard,
yeah.
And just listening to my daughter play. That's peaceful to me.
Yep. Well, to my daughter, to your point, I have a great story. I mean, like, my kids are teenagers. My daughters are teenagers, and they've been raised in Colorado, and almost to the point where they don't understand the gift of being on a mountain trail that they've been able to be on all these years. Now that they're teenagers, they're not necessarily, when they have a chunk of time, thinking, I need to go on a hike.
Right.
Or even, I need to go out into nature. But as their dad, I still try to get them out there and, you know, do activities with them. And a couple weeks ago, I was with my daughter and I was like, let's go for a bike ride. And we went to a bike ride on a local bike path, multi-use path. And then that leads to a river in town. We put our bikes down and I didn't even have to say anything. My daughter, 14, squats down along the water on a rock and just finds a stick and starts putting it in the water, playing with the bubbles that are bubbling up, coming down the creek, and then finding a bug, and she's just in her own little world like that. And if she was at home, she would say she was bored and she needed something to do and doesn't have anything to do and be on her phone potentially. But nature just called her imagination right out.
Right.
And immediately she's in her own little world. And sometimes if you're lucky enough, you can hear her either humming or even having her own little dialogue. As a 14-year-old who sometimes imagination, you know, is sparse, you know. But in those moments, and so like I'll just let her sit for 20, 30 minutes before I even interrupt her, because she's
in the zone.
She's in the zone and she doesn't even know it. And that's what I love about it. I didn't ask her to go spend time imagining. She just went, and nature, because the way that she was raised,
yeah.
Just invited her to imagine.
Well, and you allowed her to have that freedom probably when she was really young to have those moments.
Yeah.
Right? You got three girls that you raised, that you're still raising. Obviously, creativity and kids go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like as adults, we feel a little distant from that, allowing us to be in those moments, because we feel like, for instance, today you and I went to the mountains. when we have a million things to do at home, when we could have been doing stuff at home.
Yeah,
right?
There's always a reason not
There's always a reason not to go. But so I feel like sometimes adults need almost like permission to go and do this, you know, and but kids don't. Kids just do it, you know, if you allow them to do it. And that's why I think it was, Picasso's like, you know, Picasso said, like, we're all artists. We just forgot how to be artists because adult kind of takes over the responsibilities. So I almost feel like even in kids, when you see them in nature, right, they're less stressed. They're more open to having conversations with their parents. That's why they're always kindly telling you, kids, go outside. You know, it's not that we don't want you to be on devices, because there's something to learn from a device too, from playing a video game. But don't do it all day long.
Right.
You know? So it's just really interesting how nature can have that kind of effect on us as human beings.
It's harder for some than others, especially when we've gotten so used to devices and things being served to us and downtime not being of an option anymore. And so
you almost have to look for it.
The permission that we all have to give ourselves is the permission to be bored, permission to have downtime with nothing in it. And it's usually, and I think that's what, in keeping this on the topic of nature, I often feel that permission in nature.
Yeah.
You know, now somebody can, you know, go on a hike and then sit down on a rock and get on their phone. I like to go on a hike, sit down on a rock and just be.
Just stare.
And that's when the mind starts clearing and the imagination and creativity starts flowing.
Yeah. I mean, some of my best ideas, like a lot of people ask me when I come up with those ideas. And they could be just driving in the mountains, right? That's why it's called windshield time. You can have your best idea just driving and thinking, because that's all you're doing at that moment. But my best ideas are actually walking my dog in the middle of the day when I'm stuck, like trying to solve a creative problem, whether on my computer or a sketchbook, and I'm stuck. I usually know that that's like a cue to go for a walk or just get away from the computer, you know? And then the minute I get away from my computer, I'm always, now I'm like, I have different thoughts and random thoughts just come to me. And then every once in a while, I'll just grab it, because that's the thought that I need to actually complete that problem that I was dealing with on the computer.
Yeah.
So I think it is really important to connect nature and creativity, or just problem solving in general, right? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to solve a logo or a painting. You could be working on a plumbing project at home, and all of a sudden you get frustrated. The best thing to do is just take a walk, leave.
Yeah. Fresh air. It's a real thing when they say, maybe you should get some fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like walk away from the computer, but
100%.
You know, actually get some fresh air, get some sun on your face. And all the stats, I'm not going to quote like I know them all. So many stats on what it does to your body to get sunshine on your face.
Yeah.
You know, first thing in the morning, you know, fresh air, you know, several times a day. So, but it's important. And I can, because I work at home, every once in a while, like, I realize it's 4 o'clock and I'm like, I haven't gone out yet, because I started working, making my coffee inside, started working. And, you know, I didn't get the hit of nature, the hit of fresh air, wilderness. And that's long term. That's probably not good for me.
Well, no. And now more people are working remotely in their home studios. So Andy and I met at a co-working space in Boulder when I first moved here, and you know, to say that it changed my life is, you know, not exaggerating, because
you met me.
Well, I met Andy, and also I met, you know, just such a really cool creative group, and I needed it. You know, I needed to go out. So if you're in a rut and you're like not feeling creative, or you're just like, you know, depression is setting in a little bit, you know, try to look for some of those walks, or go find that, you know, co-working space where you can bounce ideas off of other people that are maybe doing the same thing as you. I think, you know, anything can kind of spark that idea, but nature, I think, for us, and getting out there and doing paddleboarding, Andy and I, we go to paddleboard, we leave the house at like 5 a.m., and we're doing paddleboarding sunrise at Gross Res, right?
Yeah. There's nothing gross about it.
Nothing gross about it, but it's amazing. It's this peaceful little area in the mountains. We bring our paddleboards. And Andy actually taught me to have like 5 minutes of complete silence, because I tend to talk a lot, hence why I'm here on a podcast. But the best thing to do is just to be silent and put your phone away, put your, you know, and just think, or don't think. Just look at nature. I remember that one time when we were silent and we saw that bald eagle.
Bald eagle flying over your head.
And I think we were still silent because didn't say anything.
Yeah.
It was so good. And then we come back. But Andy, you know, he gets me out to do mountain biking. I didn't even own a bike until I met Andy. And he loaned me for a day his old mountain bike. And I got hooked right away. And then I bought one. And then that got stolen. So I bought another one. And now this is like year number 8 that we've been doing mountain biking. And Andy's just my partner in crime when it comes to adventure. And, you know, I recommend everybody has somebody to kind of get them out. And it's always good to get somebody that pushes you into the a little bit of uncomfort zone. So a little bit about Andy. He took me on an igloo trip.
Yep.
And I've never slept in an igloo. And that was one of those, they call it type 2 fun. For some.
I think it's type 1.
He thinks it's type 1. So type 1 is when you're like really enjoying it right there and then. Type 2 is when you're like, oh, this is really, really hard. But then when you get home, you're like, oh, I'm kind of glad I did that. But this year we went and it was amazing. We built an igloo. Andy tried something different, right? You tried to do like a brick by brick igloo instead of
snow. The old ways, the typical ways, the snow cave where you pile snow up.
Yeah.
But this was a proper igloo that we were trying to make.
Yeah, and it took us a long time to do it, and everybody had a shelter except us. But then we got it done.
There was creativity in that. Like,
oh, so much.
I mean, the creatives that I know, many of them say what keeps them creative and what keeps them going is that they learn that failure is part of the process, and that part of creativity comes with trying things out, doing it again and again, and it might not work the first time, but you keep going after it. And in so in some ways, the failure of, like, you should be done with your snow cave, building a snow cave in like 3 to 4 hours. It took us 11 hours to build our igloo, which is a long time to do that.
Yeah, usually it takes how long?
But all the failures,
yeah.
And the perseverance through the failures and the challenges, we were creating a hope for ourselves. We were being creative, but there were rules and techniques that had to be followed, even in our creativity, in our creating. So,
well, you were like an engineer at the same time.
Yeah, and that's part of creativity, right?
You know? Yeah,
yeah. So it's, and then you're constantly problem solving. When a block breaks on you for the fifth time in the same spot, you start asking, you start saying to yourself, how can I do this differently? And that's creativity.
It is.
Right? It's creative problem solving, creative thinking. And I wouldn't have been in that situation thinking that depth of creative problem solving and perseverance without the failures. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was definitely, I mean, you learn from everything, right? You learn from every time you do something new. And I think the one thing that I learned from Andy is that don't be afraid to try something new. Because, you know, that's how you grow, and that's how you're going to grow your creative outlet. You know, if you want to learn how to play a guitar, pick one up. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're not going to learn how to play if you don't have one at home, basically. And I think that's like that with everything. But, I also want to talk to Andy about the project, the awe, moment of awe.
Uh-huh.
So I know, so Andy is
kind of dead right now, but maybe I'll bring it back.
It's kind of dead, but at the moment, right, when you, at its conception,
yeah,
I really liked what it was about, especially that moment of awe. And I'd love for you to just give a little bit of a synopsis of what that brand is, because I know it has something to do with nature as well.
Yeah.
And being
outdoors.
Yeah. So just, or if you can maybe even just talk about what inspired you to actually create the brand.
Well, I wanted to create a outdoor apparel shirt and hat, you know, company where I put my designs on shirts and hats, basically. And a lot of my inspiration comes from the outdoors, so a lot of my sketches are of outdoor-related things. Mountains, waters, waves, sunshine, you know, all that stuff, trees. Just the simple things of nature that hold so much, you know, creativity in them,
yeah.
You know, and inspiration in them. And so called it Awe, which just simply relates to this idea. The URL at the time was thatmomentofawe.com. And the inspiration is simply like there are moments when we find ourselves in awe, and awe is such a wonderful place to be because it resets us, you know, resets your imagination, your mindset. And there was a study, I can't remember which college did it, on awe, that when people find themselves in a moment of awe, that they're more likely to think less of themselves and then start thinking more about the betterment of others, and even willing to go to extend help to others, even at the cost of their own expense, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what awe does. And the awe can be something grand, like recently I stood on top of Mount Kilimanjaro, 19,300 feet. And that was a pretty awe-inspiring moment to be looking around all over there and the work that it was to get there.
Yeah.
But then a moment of awe could be, you know, holding my baby for the first, my daughter for the first time, or just any baby, and just seeing that baby breathe or cry or smile and just have that quick little moment of awe.
Yeah.
I remember, and that's what happens when I think when my daughter goes down to in nature and goes down to the creek, and she's in a moment of awe, she's in a moment of like imagination and a lessening of thinking about herself and thinking about more of the world around her. And all of a sudden we start realizing how small we really are.
Yeah.
So awe gets us out of our heads and get us out of thinking how great we are, because when we start seeing the greatness of nature, of the wilderness around us, you know. So that's just a little bit about what awe does to the brain, to your spirit, to your soul.
Well, no, I mean, I love that, and you can't see it now, but the logo has a little spark, right, inside it. And it's almost like that's that moment when you realize that it's not about you. It's about
the spark of life.
It's the spark of life
that comes from it. Spark of imagination, the spark of inspiration.
Yeah, and you I think you nailed it, because when you hold your baby for the first time, and for people who don't have kids, you know, maybe there is some other moment of awe, but
yeah.
For people who have kids, I mean, I have not talked to anybody who hasn't held their baby for the first time and was just bawling and just with joy, and how amazing of a miracle that is, that you conceive this human being. And then also you're scared now because you got to take care of the human being. So it's like a double awe. But, I love, and Andy's, you know, Andy's an illustrator. He's a brand designer. He's a logo maker. He is a muralist, right? He's just a creative force. And a lot of those designs are in this particular work that you've done for the Moment of Awe. And I hope that one day you actually bring it back, because I think it's an amazing idea. I know it's not easy to run, you know, like an apparel shop, but just don't give it up, please.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, this is such a cool time to be talking about creativity, because literally we're surrounded by mountains right now, and it's so cool to just have this chat about, you know, what it means to be inspired by nature, how it pushes our creativity forward. And this is just really cool, Andy.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we missed that we should be talking about?
I'm sure we missed something, but for this topic,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's you have to work at being inspired sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to work at getting out into nature, like finding it wherever you're at.
Finding that the muse.
If you live in the city, you know, where do I find a patch of grass, or where do I find, you know, a park that has some flowers I can sit by, or a view of the sunset. I mean, my oldest daughter's at college right now, and campus, you know, it's in Phoenix. It's hot. People aren't always outside. But something that I thought was so cool that she and her friends would do is they would go up to a parking garage, which isn't very much, you wouldn't think is nature.
Yeah.
But then their goal was they go to the top of the parking garage and watch the sunset. And that's them getting out into nature the way that they can and the space that they can.
And seeing something that inspires you.
To take a moment for awe. Take a moment to be, to reset yourself, to you know, have nothing else to do besides watch a ball of fire go behind the palm trees.
So you
can do it everywhere, but you have to work at it.
You have to
decide to take a break and go to that top of the, you know, parking garage.
Well, and you went to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, so
yeah, I had to take a break for that too.
I imagine when you came back full, you came back inspired, you came back probably grateful for the opportunity.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I always feel that way when I'm traveling, because we do quite a bit of traveling. So I don't put out too much when I'm on the road. I do, you know, sketch or I do some writings, but I mainly hit the gas pedal when I get back home from those long trips, because I'm full and I'm ready to output again.
Right.
My wife is kind of the introvert. I wouldn't say introvert, but she loves to take in. She loves to read. She loves to, you know, she doesn't output as much as I do. And every once in a while, she'll tell me to, hey, you need to like go read a book and fill back up, or go for a walk and fill back up, go to nature, you know, read or listen to a great record. You know, it doesn't have to be nature, but I think there's different ways to be inspired. But I think we all have those peaks and valleys when we're like feeling the slump, right? You don't have the muse, and then something else inspires you and you're like, okay, this is my North Star, I'm going for it. But no, this is awesome, dude.
Good.
I love it.
Awesome.
Well, Andy, is there anywhere that they can find you? What's your Instagram handle?
Instagram at Robots Love Balloons.
Okay.
And there's a good chance maybe I'll be updating it soon, but it's been a while. But some of my illustration and brand work is on there.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can find it there.
Perfect, dude. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for taking me out. And if you guys need an adventure guide, or, you know, somebody who's going to do the next amazing logo for you, Andy's the guy.
Awesome.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be here.